Today I want to talk to you from 2 Kings chapter 2 verse 9 on the subject of desiring the double portion. Desiring the double portion. Now we introduced this message to you last week, and what I want to talk to you this week is about what it means if you are desiring the double portion. Amen? In 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 9, let's read the word of the Lord. When they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." And all of God's children say, amen. Amen. What the word of the Lord is to me that I share with you today is that God is prepared to give you double for your trouble. God is prepared to give you double for the trouble that you have endured in 2014. Amen? How many of you like a double portion of His presence in the 2014? How many would like a double portion of His power in 2014? How many would like a double portion of His purity in 2014? How many would like a double portion of His protection in 2014? How many would like a double portion of His provisions in 2014? God is prepared to give us double for our trouble. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit has been deposited inside of every one of His children. But the Holy Spirit not only is deposited inside of us, and when the Holy Spirit is deposited inside of us, the Holy Spirit, which is really the Spirit of Christ, which is the life-giving Spirit, begins to mingle with our spirit. So it's hard to distinguish from your spirit from the Holy Spirit. God has ordained, God has decreed that your spirit, my spirit, will never be corrupted by your flesh or by the world or touched by the devil. And so God has put your spirit, the human spirit, inside you in such a way and mingled in such a way with the Holy Spirit that it will often veil itself or cover itself whenever we become too soulish or we become too fleshly in our lifestyle. And we don't hear from God. We don't feel God. We don't sense God in those seasons. Because not only is the Holy Spirit deposited in us, but because the Holy Spirit is not an it, it's a Him. It's Him. Yes. Then the Holy Spirit can become grieved. He can become grieved inside of us. Amen. And if we don't pay attention to grieving Him, then He will become quenched. The Holy Spirit, when He is grieved, is not as operative, and you're not as sensitive to Him. You've offended, in a sense, His holiness from that. But then when you quench the Holy Spirit, you render Him inoperative. Amen. He doesn't leave you, but you have rendered Him inoperative, and He's not going to manifest Himself until you ungrieve Him. Until you apologize to Him, until you repent, and until you replace Him on the throne of your life. Now, there are times when the Holy Spirit has been deposited in us, and we learn that we can grieve Him, we can quench Him, but we can be filled with Him. Say amen. Amen. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit becomes large in charge again in your life. You're controlled by the Holy Spirit. But there's something else. There's something else that is available to you. There's something else that's available to me, and that is when you actually receive or actually receive a double portion of the Holy Spirit. That's when the Holy Spirit comes upon you with power. The Holy Spirit comes upon you mightily, and you begin to walk in power. You begin to walk in precision. You're walking, being led by the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so when you get a double portion, when you get this Holy Spirit double portion upon you, then you get God's power, you get His purity, you get His protection, you get peace, you get prosperity, you get provision, you get purpose, you get it all because it's come upon you. And that's what Elisha said to Elijah. Well, hey, if you're leaving me, I need something in your place. I need a double portion of that which is on you. Amen? Well, I believe that there's some folks here today that desire the double portion. But I want to make sure you understand what you're desiring before you go to inquiring. Amen? First of all, three or four things that I want to share with you today. When you desire the double portion, what you're really doing is you're desiring your inheritance to be received. When you're desiring the double portion, you're actually desiring your inheritance to be received. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 7, God introduces us to the principle of the double portion. We talked about that at length last week, so I won't spend very much time here. But the word says, he shall acknowledge the what? The firstborn by giving him a what? Of what? Oh, my goodness, somebody ought to give a shout right now. Because what you're asking for when you're asking for a double portion is you're asking for a double portion of all that God has for you. Of all the power that He has, you want a double portion of it. Of all the purity that He has, you want a double portion of it. Of all of the peace that He has, you want a double portion of it. Of all the purity that He has, you want a double portion of it. Of all the provision that He has, you want a double portion of it. When in essence, what you're asking for is all that He is all that you want. You want all of Him in His splendor and glory. Amen? And guess what? It's your right. God said, I want you to have all of me in all of you. Amen? He says that the firstborn is going to be acknowledged, and He's going to acknowledge by giving a double portion of all that He has, for He is the beginning of His strength. To Him belongs the what? The right of the firstborn. You say, well, I don't know for sure if I'm firstborn. I know I'm a middle child or a third child or a fourth child. Well, that's in the natural. We're talking about in the supernatural. We're talking about in the spiritual. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, but you have come to Mount Zion. Who's come to Mount Zion? Those who have professed Christ. Those who have been born again. Those who have God's Spirit mingled with their spirit. Those who had their sins forgiven. Those who have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But you've come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to myriads of angels, to the general assembly and the what? Say, I'm the church. I'm the church. To the church of the what? Of the firstborn. Now, what's the right of the firstborn? A double portion of all that he has. A double portion of all that he has, that is your right. And when you desire the double portion, you desire your inheritance to be received. And what you're saying is that, Daddy, I want you to give me what you said I could have. How many of you know that there's more to the Christian life than you've had thus far? There's more to the Christian life than I've had thus far. And God said, I've just been waiting for you to want to live up to your birthright. I've just been waiting for you to come and understand that there is more that I have in store for you than you have ever had. You know, most of us, we just settle for life. But God said, I don't want you to settle for nothing. I want you to continue walking by faith and not by sight, walking in the Spirit every day of your life. Amen? So you're the firstborn. And when you want a double portion, you desire your inheritance to be received. Now, all that God has is found in all that God is. His presence, His power, His peace, His purity, His protection, His provision. All that He has is found in all that He is. And when you want the double portion, you want all that He is, and you'll get all that He has. Amen? Number two, let me show you the second thing. When you desire a double portion, you not only desire your inheritance to be received, but you desire your curses to be removed. You desire your curses to be removed. Now, curses are those things, are those areas in your life and mine that don't align with the will of God for your life. When you've got a curse on your life, then you're not living in alignment with God's will and confirmed with His word for your life. When you live with a curse, you live by something negative, negative that has been spoken into you that doesn't line up with God's word and God's will for your life. When you live with a curse, you live with all of the negativity of the forces of hell on your life. And you live beneath your privileges. You don't know your true identity. And you don't know peace and joy and patience and gentleness and long-suffering and meekness and all of those things. Now, in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, this was a prophecy that was made about Jesus, about the coming Messiah. And it says, here's the prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. Now, when Jesus was at his public baptism, at his water baptism, is when this prophecy was fulfilled in his life. And then Jesus, as soon as he had this personal experience with God in his obedience in water baptism, God spoke these things to him, and the Spirit came upon him mightily like the fashion of a dove. And from that point on, he began walking in the double portion. And as he was walking in the double portion, he began to bring good news. And man, when he spoke good news, he spoke with authority like nobody else spoke with authority. When he began to tell people their sins were forgiven, he spoke with authority from heaven that their sins were forgiven. When he faced death, he spoke authority into death, and whenever he spoke into death, life came out of that death. Amen? He began to remove the curses of infirmities off of people's life. He began to remove the curses of sickness off of people's life. He removed the infirmity of death off of people's life. Why? Because he had a double portion. He had a double portion, and he was enlarged the kingdom of God going forward, giving us an example of what the church was assigned to do when he would leave. Amen? Amen. So now, when he comes and he's got this double portion, he says he's anointed me to bring the good news to the afflicted. And instead of your what? Instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. I believe there's somebody today that God wants to remove the spirit of shame off of your life. I mean, your past is your biggest enemy. You live from your past. You end up in so many ditches. You end up in so many dead ends. You end up in so many detours because you're driving through your rearview mirror. And shame sits on your shoulder. I mean, you can't even come into the house of God with a smile on your face because the spirit of shame just jumps on you heavy. I want to tell you, God wants you to have trade-in days. God wants you to have a trade. He wants you to trade in that shame. And he wants to remove that sorrow from you. Amen? And instead of your humiliation, he wants you to shout for joy over your what? Over your portion. Oh, what's your portion? It's a double portion. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my God. God's got something he wants to say right here today. I want you to show you something in Exodus chapter 22, all right? In Exodus chapter 22, it says, if what the thief stole is actually found alive in his possession. Now, look at this. What does the thief owe you? He owes you double. You know, if you have been twice born, but you live in a once-born world, but you still live with shame, you still live with condemnation, you still live with guilt, and you don't walk in grace, I guess what? There's a thief in your life. And you got to expose that thief in your life. And when you find out, where did this shame come from? When you identify your thief and you confront your thief, guess what? God said he's going to pay double to what he's stolen from you. Somebody say hallelujah. Exodus chapter 22, verse 7. If a man gives his neighbor money or goods to keep for him and it's stolen from the man's house, if the thief is caught, what shall the thief do? Woo! Say devil, you're going to pay double for my trouble. Woo! Hallelujah. You see, God is going to rain down revelation on your circumstances, on your life, and why you don't have joy, and why you don't have peace, and why you don't have victory. It's because there's a thief in your life. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 10. The thief comes only to do what? To kill and to destroy. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Oh my goodness. The thief has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, I believe there's an important transition in that verse. What does Jesus say that he came to do? Amen. Jesus says, I came that they might have and what? All right. Now, what the problem ends up being right now, because we're going to expose a thief in somebody's life today, all right? You see, somebody with a spirit of religion on them told you that when you got eternal life, you got all the life there was. Just getting your sins forgiven was all there was necessary for you. Now, that is eternal life. All right? Now, eternal life is your first portion, but it's not the double portion. Now, I highly recommend eternal life, amen? But basically, what that's doing is getting your fire insurance policy caught up. But Jesus is the one that said this. He says, I've come to give you what? I've come to give you eternal life. If you want to go to heaven, then you're not going to get it unless you come through me. But he said, listen, there's more. There's more to the sweet by and by. I'm leaving you here for a period of your life to live in the nasty now and now. And you need more than life. You need abundant life in order to be victorious here. How many of you know that to be true? You see, there's a thief in our life. It has come to steal the potential that's ours with the double portion. You see, when trouble comes and knocks on your door, anybody had trouble to knock on your door? Man, who's going to answer that door? Sometimes we answer that door with just the first portion. And the first portion said, oh my goodness, when I get to heaven, I won't have to deal with you. But oh my goodness, when you got a double portion on you right now, you let the double portion answer the door, said, we're going to deal with you right here now. If my God is for me, what does it matter who's against me? Oh my goodness. You see, eternal life is that first portion that Jesus came to give you. And until you come to him as the way, until you come to him as the truth, until you come to him as the life, you'll never see the Father. But oh my goodness, there is so much more to be revealed about your eternal life. You see, eternal life is forever and forever and forever in the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and all of that good stuff there where you're ruling and reigning as kings and priests. But oh my goodness, there is dominion, there's authority, there's a kingdom to be advanced here on the earth, and you need abundant life right here and now, amen? So if you catch a thief that's only lied to you and said, when you got saved, that's all that you ever needed. That's all you ever needed. I mean, you got your name in the book. I mean, you got the Spirit in you. That's good. But he don't want you to know your inheritance. You see, God's your Father. And when he says that I want to give you a double portion, then you got the right of the firstborn coming your way. And oh, my goodness. And what good is the right of the firstborn going to do you when Satan is bound in the lake of fire forever and forever? There's no demons to bother you. There's no sickness that's going to bother you. There's no sadness that's going to touch your life. There is no tears that's going to come from your eyes. What in the world do you need abundance for when you've got that and you got no opposition there? You need abundance now before you get there. Hallelujah. And when you get abundance here, you really know the abundance over there. Hallelujah. You see, eternal life is the first portion, but abundant life is the double portion. And that's what you're desiring when Elisha was saying, I want a double portion. He said, I desire my inheritance to be received. But he was saying also, I want to make sure there's no curses on my life. I want to remove all curses. And when you got that double portion, not only do you get that removed from you, but now you're walking in that double portion, and when you see somebody with a spirit of shame on them, you can speak life into that situation. When you see somebody with a spirit of death on them, You can speak into that situation. You can speak life into that because you've got the double portion. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. In 2014 and in 5774, that's the same year, okay? 2014 and 5774, that's the Hebraic calendar, if you're wondering there. In 2014 and the Hebraic calendar of 5774, here's what it means in this year. It means it's time to see your open door. Amen. It's time for you to see your open door. It's an open door with favor. It's an open door of opportunity. It's an open door of increase. It's an open door of restoration. It's an open door of abundance. Amen? Amen. And what you've got to do is you've got to catch the thief. If you catch the thief in your life, if you expose the thief in your life, if you confront the thief in your life, then according to the Word of God, he must pay you double. God wants to give you double for your trouble in 2014. Anybody ready for your double? Anybody had enough of your trouble? Then you go ahead and identify that thief. You go ahead and expose that thief. You go ahead and confront that thief. You go ahead and tell that thief what for and demand that your inheritance be received. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. All right, when you desire the double portion, you desire curses to be removed. And when you desire the double portion, you desire your inheritance to be received. But oh, look at this third and glorious part. You desire your anointing to be released. You desire your anointing to be released. Oh, my goodness, let's look at this and let's talk. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, and Elijah, sure enough, he went up by a whirlwind into heaven. We told you last week that Elijah is a type of Christ in so many ways. He's a picture of Christ in so many ways. From the arrival of his presence on the scene, confronting the false prophets of Baal, Jesus did it with the religious leaders of his day, to the calling the people to a higher standard of living. Jesus called them to a higher standard of living. Jesus said, the word says that if you commit adultery, that's wrong. But I say to you, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, then you've already committed adultery in your heart. Jesus called him to a higher standard of living. Elijah called fire down from heaven. Elijah brought judgment on the religious institutions and the false worship and the false Baals. Jesus did the same thing. He cleansed the temple. He turned over tables and he called people back to devotion to God. Elijah went up to heaven. He went up to heaven in a whirlwind. How did Jesus do? Jesus went up to heaven as well. So there are pictures, there are types that you can see of Christ in the Old Testament that he fulfilled in the New Testament. That would have been one of those when Jesus had those two disciples walking along the way, and he began with Moses and the prophets and began to explain to them everything in the Old Testament in Moses and the law about Jesus, about himself. When he came to Elijah, he said, let me show you, that's a picture of me too. That rock in the wilderness, when they smote that rock, that was me too. Oh my goodness, and that Ark of the Covenant, that was me too. That tabernacle, that was me too. Everything, he began to show them that. There's all kind of pictures and types there. Well, Elijah was one right here. Look at this. He went up by a whirlwind to heaven, and Elisha what? He saw it, and he saw Elijah no more. But what did Elijah do? Elijah took his mantle that was anointed. His anointed mantle, Pastor Darrell, you're going to have to get it out again. His anointed mantle, and he what did he do? He threw it down. He threw it down to the earth. And they had a throwdown. That was the original throwdown service right there, all right? There it was. It was thrown down. And what did Elisha do? He picked it up. Now Elijah threw that down another time in Elisha's life. In 1 Kings chapter 19, when Elisha was minding his own business out in his family farm, taking care of family business, the Spirit of God had already told Elijah that he's going to throw his mantle on Elisha. And so Elijah went riding up by that, and he got his mantle, and he threw it on Elisha. You see, that was his first portion. Yeah. That was his first portion that he got. And man, he liked that first portion. Everywhere Elijah went and everything Elijah did, Elisha was in on it too. But what did Elisha ask for when Elijah was going to go up? I want a double portion. I want a double portion of your spirit, because the spirit that's on you needs to be on me. And Elijah, by the word of the Lord, said, well, if you see me when I'm taken up, you'll get it. And so he saw him when he went up, but he hadn't gotten it. But Elijah threw the mantle back down to the ground. And that represented his anointing. And when it was laying on the ground, Elisha picked it up. And when Elisha picked it up, I want to tell you, he got his double portion. Amen?
Yes, amen?
Now, Elijah was the type of Christ. And when Christ ascended back up to heaven, he threw his mantle back down to the earth too. And it fell initially on 120 there in that upper room. You see, just before that, John tells us about it in chapter 20. Just before that, he breathed on them. Said, receive ye the what? The Holy Spirit. You see, they got their first portion. But Jesus says, boys, there's more than that if you want it. If you desire a double portion, you go into Jerusalem and you wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power. You see, the anointing just means the power of God. The double portion just means a double portion of God's anointing and power on your life. And so Elijah was a type of Christ. Elisha was a type of the church. He was a picture, a foreshadowing of the church that would be operating in the double portion anointing when Jesus comes back. Amen? Oh, my goodness, look at this. He picked it up, and he had to get back home some way or another. And so he said, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? And you know, many times we look for God, and we just need to look at what we've got in our hands.
Amen.
What have you got in your hands? What did God tell Moses to do when he was having to confront Pharaoh? What's that in your hand? Throw that staff down. Get into another throwdown service. And throw that staff down. Throw that mantle down. And when he threw that mantle down, when he threw his anointing down, then, oh, my goodness, the miracle happened and the water split. Woo, think I like that. I'll just carry that on with me right there. But you see, when you desire the double portion, you desire your anointing to be released wherever you go. Amen? And I believe there are several areas to where the double portion anointing is ready to be released in the church. The church is going to have another throwdown. We're going to have another throwdown season to where we get saying that I appreciate my eternal life. I appreciate my first portion, but I want the double portion. I appreciate Jesus coming to give me life, but he also said he's come to give me abundant life. Just take a personal inventory right now and say, does the life that I'm living on a daily basis, does that represent abundance? Is it an abundance of grace? Is it an abundance of love? Is it an abundance of mercy? Is it an abundance of favor? Is it an abundance of peace? Is it an abundance of victory? Is it an abundance of power? Is it an abundance of anything? And if you come up lacking, then maybe you desire the double portion. Amen? If you take a look at your life and say, surely there's more to the Christian life than I have been experiencing. There's more to the Christian life than I have been living. There's more to the Christian life than I've been representing. There's more to the Christian life than I have to recommend. Then maybe you want a double portion.
Hallelujah.
Now, when we're operating in the double portion, the word double means a folding. A folding. And when you have that, what God does is there's twofold to this. There's multi-folds to this. And when God gives you a double, it means to fold. It means to bend. It means to increase. And what you have is you have something that's folded that's given to you. And a portion is an amount. And you get a folded, you get a multiplied amount of the power of God. Now, when you get that, when the church gets that, these are some areas that will begin to get married together. They begin to get united together, and you begin to see them in operation in the church and through the church. Here's the first area that you'll be able to see when the double portion comes. Amen? And the first one is there will be a marrying between the apostolic ministry and the prophetic ministry. Can somebody say amen? There will be a marrying between the apostolic and the prophetic. The apostolic will be united with the prophetic ministry. Now, in your Bible, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says something that you've typically not been taught about. It says, and he gave some as... Now, most of us live our Christian life as if the word apostles and prophets have been deleted. We live our life as if prophets and apostles are no longer necessary for the ministry of the church. Amen. When most of us think about the local church, we think about the office of pastor, evangelist, and teacher. We are comfortable with the office of pastor, evangelist, and teacher. Yes. We're not comfortable with the office of apostle and the office of prophet. Amen. But look at what your Bible says. He gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers. For what purpose did God give these fivefold ministries to the church? For the what? For the equipping of whom? Now, I want to tell you, there is a natural illustration that you can look at when you look over in Afghanistan and you look over in Iraq. You look over in Iraq at the Iraqi army. They are about as ill-equipped and ill-trained and ill-prepared as any army that you would ever want to see on the face of the earth. But yet they've got an assignment of trying to defend some of the richest oil wells and deposits in all of the land. And they are having to come up against Al-Qaeda. They're having to come up against ISIS and all the others. Now, can you imagine? That's not even a fair fight. That's not even a fair contest if the Iraqi army is having to come up against Al-Qaeda's elite and against ISIS and their training. Why? Because ISIS and Al-Qaeda, they are well-equipped. They are well-trained. They are well-funded. They are well-supplied, and they understand their mission, and they are committed to their task. Well, I want to tell you, I want to propose to you that the church is more like the Iraqi army than the eternal army. We are about as ill-equipped and ill-prepared for the battles that face us day by day. And one of the reasons is we cut out two of our equipping offices. We don't have the office of apostle and we don't have the office of prophet. We're leaving it to the pastors, the evangelists, and the teachers. And we aren't equipped. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, the word service is diakone, the word ministry, and for the building up of the body of Christ. Can I get a witness in the house? Who would benefit the most from cutting out the two of the fivefold gifts to the church? It certainly wouldn't be the kingdom of God. It certainly wouldn't be the local church. It certainly wouldn't be the universal church. It'd be the kingdom of Satan. Why? Because the apostolic ministry is for the building of the church and the individual. The prophetic ministry is for the blessing of the church and the blessing of the individual. The prophetic ministry is revelational. The apostolic ministry is foundational. And you find out if this truth is foundational, will the church be able to stand on this truth? Will the gates of hell be able to prevail against this truth? The apostolic ministry carries authority with it. And the prophetic ministry has life in it. When you have the apostolic ministry and the prophetic ministry united together, then the prophetic ministry is released. And the prophetic ministry can look at a lifeless situation and can speak life into death. And death will have to give up life. Amen? That's what Elisha did as soon as he crossed over the river. Do you remember he went and he saw barrenness? We'll talk more about this in a future message. But do you remember the woman that couldn't have children? And the prophet went and he spoke the prophetic word. He takes barrenness and he speaks and it becomes fruitful. Yeah, whenever the prophetic ministry is released in the church, then the church ceases being barren. It begins to be fruitful. Amen. But it has to come with a double portion anointing. And when the double portion comes, God marries the apostolic with the prophetic ministry together. You see, prophetic words have power to bring life out of death. Prophetic words have the ability to create something inside of you. I mean, when God gives a prophetic word to you, then it is God's way of depositing life into you, direction into you, destiny into you. And if you don't have prophetic words being spoken, if you don't have prophetic words being received, then what you have is barrenness and unfruitfulness. The very first thing that Elisha confronted when he came back, the people said, "We saw Elijah go and we saw you split the waters, but the land is bitter and it's unfruitful." Yes, sir. And so Elijah said, "Well, give me some salt." And he took some salt and the double portion and he put it in that, and the land ceased being barren and it became fruitful at the prophetic ministry of the man of God. And that's what you'll have. But the apostolic will be united with the prophetic. And the apostolic will be able to, it's kind of like a paternal relationship in the church. That it becomes like an Abba anointing, a father's anointing. Yes. And it kind of oversees in a paternal way, with authority from God, what's happening in the church. Amen? Well, let me move on to that. I got some more things to say. But the apostolic will be united with the prophetic. And when you're having the apostolic and the prophetic, then look at this. The spirit of wisdom will be united with the spirit of revelation. You see, if you're getting a prophetic word, then that is a revelation. Amen. That's a revelation from God. Remember what Jesus said about the truth? He said, "You will what? Know." Now we like to sanitize that word, and we will quote that and enjoy it until we realize what it's really saying. When Jesus said, "You will know the truth," that means it's going to be revealed to you. Truth is going to be revealed to you. And when truth has been revealed to you, the truth that's revealed to you will what? Set you free. And when the prophetic ministry is anointed by the Spirit of God, then God's not only going to give you a spirit of revelation, but he's going to give you a spirit of wisdom. Look at what the Apostle Paul said he prayed for the Ephesian church. He says, I make mention of you in my prayers. And he said, this is what I pray. I ask the Father of glory to give you a what? A spirit of wisdom and of revelation of the knowledge of him. Now, is there anybody in the house today that said, I got all the knowledge of God I need? I got all of the understanding of God that I need. I want to tell you, when we cut two of the five offices out, then you don't get wisdom and you don't get revelation. You know, sometimes you find out what to do, but how many of you know there's sometimes you need to know how to do it? Amen. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul says, in my apostolic role with you, I want to tell you how I'm praying for you. I'm praying for God to give you the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation. You know what Jesus said about revelation? He said, I'm going to build my church on it. Simon Peter got revelation given to him. And he says, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father in heaven. And upon the gates, upon this truth, revelation truth, I'm going to build my church. And who would benefit the most for the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to be taken out of the church? It's the enemy, the kingdom of Satan would benefit the most. But oh my goodness, it gets gooder. It gets gooder, okay? The apostolic will be united with the prophetic. The spirit of wisdom will be united with the revelation. But look at this one. The minstrel will be united with the prophet. Now, we're going to have to talk about the minstrel, okay? Look at the spelling. 2 Kings 3:15. Elisha, who's just received this double portion, okay? He just received this double portion. He comes to a circumstance and a situation. He says, now bring me a what? A minstrel was a person skilled with playing musical instruments. Bring me a man of God skilled and trained in the musical arts. Bring me somebody who understands how to play music, but not just a seminary trained guy. I want a spirit trained guy. Bring me a minstrel. And it came about when the minstrel what? Whew. What happened? The hand of the Lord came upon whom? The prophet. It came upon Elisha. Well, can I tell you that we've got a minstrel right here? We've got a minstrel right here. And I want to tell you, we're walking in a season. We're at the front door of a season that when the Spirit of God is on him, and when the Spirit of God is on him, the Spirit of God comes on me. And when and what a minstrel does is he creates an atmosphere. He creates an atmosphere where the power of God can operate. A minstrel creates an atmosphere where the Word of God can be heard. A minstrel creates the atmosphere to where the Word of God can be believed. And you can't put a price on an anointed minstrel coming and praying. And when God gives a double portion, he unites a minstrel with a prophet. And when the minstrel plays, the atmosphere is set. And you enter into that atmosphere and you can hear the Word of the Lord. You can believe the Word of God and revelation can come to you. I want to tell you, there are things happening just in the playing of the music. We have people on Wednesday nights just saved in the playing of the music, in the singing of the music. We have times here, I'm at perfect ease and liberty from time to time that I say, we're gonna do the music after we've done the preaching. And the music is anointed and people can get saved. I mean, when we have the extension of our services here, it's because the minstrel is playing and the atmosphere is set and people are hearing the voice of God. People are responding to the grace of God. Burdens are laid down. Captives are set free. Shame is cast off and humiliation is removed. And I want to tell you, when that happens, God moves mightily. I can't tell you how thankful I am for the man of God that David, the minstrel he's put together with me. And just such a united thing. It's just such a kingdom thing. It's just such a glorious thing. Look at this. When the minstrel played, the hand of the Lord came upon him. And when the hand of the Lord came upon him, he prophesied. He says, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of trenches. Thus says the Lord, you will not see wind, nor will you see rain. Yet the valley shall be filled with water. Amen? Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness. The apostolic will be united with the prophetic. The spirit of wisdom will be united with the spirit of revelation. And the spirit and the minstrel will be united with the prophet. But number next. The gifts will be united with the anointing. Now, can we talk for a second? You know, we got folks that operate in the gifts, but they don't always operate in the anointing. And you gotta have that double portion. You gotta have that power of God. You gotta have that anointing for them to walk together and flow. Amen. And that's my desire. That's my vision for this church. Is that we come and we desire the double portion and the gifts that God gives to His body are the gifts that will be anointed by His Spirit. And that's why we come and we desire to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. We appreciate the first portion, but Jesus said we could have a second portion. And we want the second portion because all that comes with it is all we need for that. We don't want to be like the Iraqi army. We don't want to have search and rescuers have to come and deliver us out of the hand of the enemy. We want people worried about the enemy, what we're doing to the enemy, because we are so anointed we can't be disappointed. We are so anointed. We can't be discouraged. We can't be deterred. We can't be defeated. Oh, hallelujah for that. And look at this. Why is the anointing so important? Because the yoke will be removed because of the what? The anointing. Oh, hallelujah. When there's a fresh anointing falling down, the gifts are in operation. When the gifts are in operation, the power of God is moving. When the power of God is moving, the presence of God is known. When the presence of God is known, the Word of God is revealed. When the Word of God is revealed, the Spirit of God is loosed. And when the Spirit of God is loosed, the spirit of shame is removed. The spirit of humiliation is gone. The good news is received. And souls are transformed for the glory of God. Amen. So let me ask you this. What have you got in your hand? What have you got in your hand? Is it time for you to have your own throwdown? Oh, my goodness. Is it time for you to have your own throwdown? My goodness, God wants to give us a double portion. Why? He said it's your right. It's your right, and I want you to have all that I said you could have. Amen? Don't settle for a settle-for life. As you're passing through, God said there's more, and there is more. And I don't know about you, but if there's more, I'm going to get what God said I can have. Amen? So what I say is belly up at the bar, boys. It's happy hour. And there's some new wine that's ready to be flowing. Amen? God don't mind you getting drunk. He just wants you to get drunk on the right wine. Amen? Amen. He don't mind your personality staggering. He just wants the right thing staggering your personality. He don't mind your speech getting altered. He just wants the right wine changing and staggering your speech. Amen. He don't mind you getting bold in your drunkenness. He just wants you filled with the Holy Spirit so you're bold in the things of the Lord. Amen. Oh, so don't get drunk with wine where is excess. But be ye filled with the Holy Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Is there anybody thirsty today? Is there anybody want to drink from that new wine today? God says, I want you to have all that you want. Amen? Oh, let me pray over you right now. Father God, I thank you so much for the privilege this hours. Lord, we thank you for the first portion. Lord, we thank you for our eternal life. We thank you for our salvation. There's nothing like it. And Lord God, I'm praying for the one today who's never had the first portion. I'm praying for them, Lord God, to come and say, I want to enter into the kingdom of God. I want to enter in by repentance and faith. I want to turn from my sin and place my faith in Jesus Christ. But oh Lord, today I'm praying also for those who've already entered in long ago. But a religious spirit has told them they can't have any more than that. Lord, I'm praying that today would be the day that they cast off their shame, they cast off their humiliation, they cast off their procrastination and say, God, I want all the new wine you've got for me. Give me a new wineskin and fill it with new wine. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.